Yoga Vashishta, Part 3 by Swami Surya Devananda. Prayer before study. Salutations to that reality in which all the elements and all the animate and inanimate beings shine as if they have an independent existence, and in which they exist for a time and into which they merge. Salutations to that consciousness which is the source of the apparently distinct threefold divisions of knower, knowledge and known, seer, sight and seen, doer, doing and deed. Salutations to that bliss absolute, the ocean of bliss, which is the life of all beings, whose happiness and unfoldment is derived from the shower of spray from that ocean of bliss. The last time we spoke about four things: the liberated sage, self-effort, essence of all scriptures, and the course of action. Let's just look at them briefly again. Two important qualities are mentioned about the liberated sage. One, who by nature or naturally is not swayed by sense pleasure, and two, who does what needs to be done without the motivation of fame or other incentives. So by nature is important. We've got to make it natural to us from a conscious effort and needs to be done without motivation. So we stand with the situation and not outside it, or we universalize our being. The second point was about self-effort. And what is self-effort? That effort which springs from right understanding, not a personalized selfish understanding, but a right understanding of standing with things. And this comes about by a sense of inner purification, which is an exposure we spoke about, to the teachings of the scriptures and the conduct of other holy ones. The third point was the essence of all scriptures. What does it all boil down to? And here Vashishta states, with our inner strength, our inner fabric, our moral strength, one should continually divert the impure mind or conditioned mind to pure action by persistent effort, and therefore thereby purify it. Now this brings us down to the last point of last time, action. The purpose of action is not to get things done. It is not for the accomplishing of the outer, but to transform the inner, to discover, see, and transform the inner while acting in the outer. Friends, today we come down to one of the core topics or hallmark topics of the Yoga Vashishta. And I'll say this as we go along so we know what to really focus and go back, because it's quite a voluminous scripture. The four gatekeepers to the realm of freedom or moksha, or you can call it inner expansion or goodness. One, shama or self-control. Two, vicharana or the spirit of inquiry. Three, santosha or contentment. And four, satsanga or good company. Greetings. Let us start by looking at the first of the four gatekeepers to the absolute, and that is shama or self-control. When we hear this word control, it revs up all kinds of feelings in us and something that we absolutely don't like. We don't like it because our inner nature is the absolute. And that inner nature, which is trying to express itself through the portal of the mind, the absolute, sees all these restrictions and all of this wall. So it's a very deep conflict. It's not something that happens with the mind that we don't like it. This self-control that we are talking about in yoga is not punitive, which is how we see things as. When someone tries to control us or there is control put on us, we see it as punitive, as some kind of punishment. But this self-control of yoga is positive. We control the lower nature not by some force or oppression or psychological subterfuge, but this control is by a better choice instead. So not this but that. Just like if you were to go shopping and you see a great deal, but you also look at it and know that the quality of that is questionable. So you wait a while and you buy something that you can afford a little bit later. That's better. Is there any suppression or oppression in that at all? No. It is wisdom in action, holding out for a better deal. And when you get something better, and when you don't make the choice of what is or what prompt comes up for something that's better, it's healthier. And this struggle in yoga seems like a struggle initially, because one knows the choices one has by habit or habitually, or what is present in front of us here and now. And one holds, because that prompt comes up, one holds till one can get a fresh read from the situation and come to a healthier decision. And this struggle goes on initially off the old or off habit and off wisdom, which is a fresh take on the situation at every time. It seems like a struggle because this is a ready answer presented to you by conditioning. And this is a fresh take going on by the inner intelligence, and it must go on till the inner intelligence is fully activated and habit is fully weakened. In that meantime, it's only a struggle if your heart is not set on the better. But if your heart is set on the better, the inner prompting comes up, the inner intelligence takes a fresh take, and the promptings of the conditioned mind gradually get weakened by disuse. So it is a struggle if your heart is not set on a better way. For that, one has to have seen the defects or shortcomings of the habit or the conditioned way. And one of the safest ways for the mind to rest on in that process is its conviction on the better way, its conviction on God, its conviction on good, its conviction on all of that that is durable, that will last, not transient. So for that, we would have had to have lived an examined life. Until one leads an examined life, self-control becomes a struggle at best, and it seems almost punitive, where in actuality, it's positive. So this examined life is at the basis of all yoga, the basis of all change, the basis of all evolution. To see things as they are, continually, and to see the defects not in things, but in our old unexamined ways of living, or habitual living. That sets the stage for examined living. And self-control comes about naturally in examined living, because it is a control or a pause or an acknowledgement of habitual ways while trying to find better ways. So Vasishtha says that if this doesn't come about and we give in or give enough importance to habitual ways, it is like sleeping in a burning house at best. We go from habit to habit and from sorrow to sorrow, because that's all that habit brings you. But self-control here that we are talking about is from joy to joy, because we go from what is and from better, healthier responses to better ones. And how can that be punitive? We now move to the second gatekeeper, which is Vicharana, or the spirit of inquiry. To inquire is one thing. It is a process that goes on continually. The spirit of inquiry is the wanting to inquire at all times, wanting to look into it. And my friends, if you want to see things as they are, You will see things as they are. We have to want this. What brings this about? This wanting to be awake, this wanting to look at things, and what stops it? When we see the defects in unexamined ways, by defects we are not talking about the defects in things, but the defects of that vision, the defect of that way, of unexamined things, we become awake. When we see that what we do causes hurt to us and to others, we become awake. And when we're awake, that energy, that spirit, that enthusiasm that keeps us awake in the moment, that always examines things afresh, that as we go along, that does not accept status quo and will not accept status quo, is called vicharana, the spirit of inquiry. It is a mind that is inquired into all the time. The outer, which generally has our attention, is brought into focus with the inner as one complete package. The mind that sees the outer also sees the inner. That mind, which is observed within, is the same mind that observes the without seamlessly, and the whole package is seen at the same time from moment to moment as you go along. As long as one sees value in the unexamined ways, one is not going to wake up. This doesn't mean that one sees the defect in things, but those ways are in our mind. Habitual ways are in our mind. And when we see that the mind, that mind, is getting mixed up with an accurate take on things, we choose the accurate take on things as they go along. What does that have? What is habit, and what do all those impressions have to do with it at all? So Vasishtha says that this spirit of inquiry, to want to be continually awake and see things as they are, as they happen, is called the spirit of inquiry. And this itself is the greatest wisdom, because it sees things in the best and healthiest possible way as they happen. We now come to the third point, or the third gatekeeper to the realm of moksha, or the absolute. Santosha, or contentment. This is one that we'll spend a little bit of time on, because it often gets misconstrued. We say we are contented with things. We are contented with things, but in a sort of grudging way, okay, well, I didn't get it, but I'm not disappointed. You know, if you get a promotion or something else, the thing, we sort of settle. It's like a plea bargain with an inner grudge. Well, I'm not disappointed. You know, I take things as they are. I accept things as they are. Sort of a status quo. This santosha, or contentment, is a little different than that. It is the renunciation for all craving and what is not obtained without seeking actively. In other words, we don't seek actively for something with a satisfaction or a contentment with what comes naturally. It doesn't bother about it, because its sense of contentment is based on doing its very best from moment to moment. What have I got to do with things that come? I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do a good job every day, whether it's out there in my work, whether it's in my yard, whether it's in my relationships. I'm going to be true, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do my very best. And that very fact of doing my best at work, at home, in my relationships, in my prayer, in my effort in yoga, in everything else, should be satisfying. Why shouldn't it? What does that effort have to do with what comes? When one learns to be satisfied with one's effort, simply being one's best and doing one's best, that's all that we can really control in life. How we are and who we are, and how we do things and how we respond and how we act. If this is based on the best, Why shouldn't I be satisfied that I've done my best? I couldn't have done better. I did my very best. Why wouldn't that be satisfying? So when we change our satisfaction to our sense of being, who we are and what we do and how we do, which is always in our control, we can be always satisfied. This may come or it may not come. The outer may come or it may not come. Somebody may approve of it or may disapprove of it. But I'm not trying to gain their approval, and I'm not trying to get anybody excited and get their disapproval either. I'm simply trying to do my very best. So before doing one's best, one has to be one's best at all times. Healthy thoughts, healthy good things, and when one has goodness in one's heart, the doing comes as a natural expression of being. When you try to do good without being good first, it's a little bit artificial. And that is going to crack, and one's going to feel that pressure at some time where one cannot sustain the outer show, so to say, because the inner core is not on board. So this santosha or contentment is a sort of being good and doing good in action. At every moment, one strives to be good. And in life, that being good responds to life. And one finds tremendous contentment or joy from that very sense of being. And since you cannot be divested or separated from your sense of being or who you are, you cannot be separated from contentment. Now you can well imagine, my friends, the joy that comes when there is contentment that you cannot be divested with. There's no sense of, all right, well, I'll settle for it. It's not what I wanted, but I'm not unhappy, you know. You don't have to do all that, because you can never be divested or separated from your sense of being. And if your being is rooted on goodness, your doing is rooted in goodness. And when those are rooted in goodness, how can you be anything but content and fully satisfied at every step of the way? This is why Vasishtha says that this contentment or santosha is the supreme gain, because every moment you gain, and that gaining doesn't stop. We now come to the fourth centennial or gatekeeper to the realm of freedom or the absolute, and that is satsanga or good company. Now here again, my friends, we've got to lift our minds and take the broadest possible view that we can. Satsanga is not just going to a program, be it religious or other. It's not a program. It's not some place where we go, where people are gathered and they're going to do something. It's not just the program. There may be a program outside, but what is the program within us? What is the event going on within us? If there is no program or no agenda, we have to look at it in a broader way. There is no impetus. What is the focus? What are we trying to achieve? Are we just trying to achieve the so-called religious thing? Or are we trying to achieve this promotion of goodness, not from a social level, but from its truest level, so goodness goes towards godness? Satsanga is the coming together of our aspiration, which is inner, also in the outer. It may be in the form of a program, but it may be the aspiration of others. And when it's coming together of light with the light for an increase in one's light, or the deeper establishment of one's light, which could be the rays of one's own spiritual yearning. Just like when two lamps come together, if I bring a light or a lamp in a dark room and somebody else brings one, the collective illumination of those lights is brighter. And so it's not limited to just a program. It may be a program, but we have to have a program within our heart. We have to have the agenda or yearning within our heart to want to know more. So satsanga can take many different forms. It can be in the company of others, but it's not limited to the company of others in terms of people. It's the company that we keep all the time. It can be the company of good books. It can be the company of good thoughts. It can be the company of good intentions. So when anything non-good comes up, we simply pause, look deeper or look within for the better way. And if we do that continually, we're in satsang all the time. When we have those moments of free time, we pick up good books and study them every day. Fill our mind with good thoughts, because we get inundated throughout the day with habitual ways, which are very easy to get caught up in because they're acceptable and even lauded. So we are not talking about going against anything. We're simply talking about a better choice from moment to moment. Satsanga has got two words, sat and sangha. Sat is that everything that is good, everything that is noble, everything that is better, everything that is pure, everything that is wholesome. Sangha is to come together. So it is a coming together with everything that is good, better, that supports and increases your aspiration, not goes against it. So satsanga is a sort of inner protection. It does no good to attend a so-called program if one's mind and heart is fixed firmly in habitual ways. But it does a lot of good to attend a program or anything, whether it be a program or even a walk or a sit on the beach, as long as one's thoughts are going to soar high with the eagles. That's why Vasishtha has said that good company or satsanga is the best companion to the destination. Goodness is the best companion. We often talk about, you know, well, this one is my best friend and that one is my best friend and things like that. Try making goodness your companion and say, from now on, goodness, noble thoughts, noble feelings, good feelings towards others, good feelings towards all and everything is going to be my best friend. Until death do us part, goodness is my best friend. And goodness, if you do that, will be your protection. You don't need to guard the doors if you are protected by goodness. Sure, there may be some that might want to take advantage of that goodness, and that may even succeed. There's always that crowd out there. You can look at it and be practically a little bit careful about things, but when push comes to pull, if you rely on goodness, you cannot be let down, because the rewards of goodness are not in time process. It is not, if I do good, good will come at this stage eventually and something will happen. That may or may not. The rewards of goodness are instantaneous. As I go along, live as it happens. So when you are fixed or hitched on to goodness, you are protected and you have a sense of joy as you go along. The rewards also come in time process because it increases goodness and as you go along. So we have one sense of protection that's in time process and one sense of protection which is as you go along. There may be some momentary lapses of advantage that people may take as they go along, but they're going to have to work that out. That's not my concern. My concern is just this, or one's concern should be just this. How can I do things, or how can I promote my natural goodness continually? For that, I have to be in the company of the good all the time. Good company externally may be in the form of people, good choices, good friends, people that have noble aspirations, lofty aspirations. It may be in the form of books and things that I read and what I expose myself to. Not exposing myself into anything that may degrade my natural goodness. And we have to be careful out here, because initially our natural goodness is like a young sapling. And whatever you expose it to could be hazardous to it. One could get caught up back in this judgmental way of functioning. So one has to protect oneself initially. But then there's goodness inside when thoughts that may not be good rise up, not to get identified with them, not to get identified with habitual feelings when they rise up. And that is promoting or satsanga internally also. So satsanga externally with people, with conditions, with situations, satsanga internally when a thought rises up, to be able to put your mind on the mantra and say, to be able to cancel it and say no to that thought and put the mind or the conscious thing on something wholesome. When suspicions arise up within you or within one, suspicions or feeling or doubt or animosity, to be able to say no and take a fresh take and insist on seeing things how they are. When you insist on seeing the good, my friends, you will see the good. And when you see the good from moment to moment, all that is not good simply weakens and falls away by disuse. So satsanga has been called the best companion because it takes you from good to good and keeps you established in goodness. Now think for a moment, my friends. It would be very hard to think of another friend that keeps you continuously in the good. This satsanga, and is with you all the time. Friends come and go. We're in their company all the time for a moment, and we're not. But this satsanga, you're in the company of that all the time. When you are in the company of good all the time, that, my friends, is called satsanga. My friends, we've talked about four things today, just four things, and we haven't talked at great length because there's no need to. But these four things are not little things. These four are one of the core teachings of the Yoga Vashishta. A simple way to bring about a very big change in our inner being. Let's go over them very briefly. The first one was self-control. Self-control is a struggle only because one hasn't seen the danger in habitual ways. When one sees through habitual ways and yearns for the better, self-control becomes natural. Self-control is not punitive. It is positive. It is a better choice instead of status quo. And so there should be no struggle in self-control. Struggle in self-control is not seeing the danger of walking habitually and not wanting a better way. So being caught up is what makes it a struggle. But when you have awakened and you have seen the danger and you yearn for the better, self-control becomes natural. Then we come to the second gatekeeper, which is vicharana, or the spirit of inquiry. This follows self-control naturally. When we have seen the dangers of the habitual way, there is a natural looking into things afresh. Everything is inquired into. And vicharana is that spirit of inquiry that persists continually to want to see things as they are and have a fresh take on things. Which brings us to the third principle, contentment. Having seen things afresh, we realize that there is no control over how things work out. But there is control in how we look at things and how we do things. So we look at things fresh, but we also do things fresh. Contentment is a renunciation of all cravings. I wish it works out that way. I wish it works out that way. I wish this happens. I hope that doesn't happen. Instead of the outer circumference, one changes one's focus to the inner and finds satisfaction completely with how one sees things and how one does things. And these two are always in our control at all times. So it's an inner satisfaction a natural satisfaction with what comes naturally. My concern is not with what comes. My concern is with how I deal with them. Let come what may, and that is the way I can be satisfied with. So it's not an accepting grudgingly that, okay, I'll be satisfied with what comes naturally. I can't change it, so let me be satisfied with it. It's not that, because in that, there is still the focus on the outer. But when you look at the inner, just simply being one's best and doing one's best, since that is always in our control, we can be satisfied continually. And a satisfied mind is a perpetual treat. It is a continual treat. The last one we spoke about is satsanga, the company of the good. Not just better choices and things outside. True, company of the good, good friends, good company, all of that. Everything that promotes our goodness. Not just he's a good guy or she's a good gal or whatever else, or they're a good buddy. But things and people that and conditions that promote our goodness, both outer and inner. To be in the company of the good externally, which is good choices and people, good choices and conditions, and things outwardly, including food, everything else, and good choices internally, when other thoughts rise, when other feelings rise, to recognize the rise of habit, to leave it alone, and to always make better choices. When you go with these four principles, self-control, which is a better choice, vicharana, the spirit of inquiry, where the inner is looked at along with the outer, and we are not tripped up, so to say, by the inner. Contentment in being happy, not with what comes, but with one's continual effort. And satsanga, the company we keep externally, and the company of our thoughts and feelings, good thoughts, good feelings, noble feelings. These four are the best friends and the best companions in the journey or the ascent of the spirit. Friends, today we concluded the important teachings of the second chapter. Don't look at it as small. We've really concentrated on something that is very core. The next time, we continue with the important teachings or look into the teachings of the third chapter. Thank you for joining me today. To download this video, its audio, or a PDF handout of the main points, kindly visit suryadevananda.org. Thank you.